T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On the ground, up the middle, Tim's got it, and Liam Hendricks is through his first inning of baseball as a cancer survivor. The Angels scored 2 runs, but something bigger, honestly, happened at 35th and Shields tonight.
He's already won the war. This was just one battle.
Hey, hey, I want to be a rock star.
Oh, I want to be a rock star.
With Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Thrilled to talk White Sox and baseball with Steve Stone. You hear him on all the shows throughout the week on The Score. Our senior baseball analyst joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Stoney, I know you've been on, I think, both shows since Liam Hendricks made his return. We talked to Jason the day after, but just wanted to say you guys did an excellent job, which was obviously no surprise, but that was an incredibly powerful moment, and you guys, as the master of ceremonies, so to speak, did an excellent job contextualizing the whole thing.
Well, I think Jason and I were just really happy to be at the ballpark that night because it's one of those nights that you're going to remember forever. He came back exactly when he said he would in the month of May, which was absolutely amazing. And the greeting from the crowd was great. He probably got 3 or 4 standing ovations throughout the evening, and I've talked about it and said, you know, if it was a Hollywood script, then he would have gotten everybody out and won the game and all would have ended well. But this is not Hollywood, and it was unrealistic to assume with what he's been through, he would come back with any semblance of the stuff that he had before. But I don't think it's going to take him all that long to get it back.
And that would be the next chapter of a remarkable story that, as you guys have talked about, he is definitely still writing. You always have said, you know, hopefully next week it's a little better. Hopefully next week it's a little better. Let's talk about Lance Lynn, because they obviously need him to be much better. What's going wrong, and can it be fixed midseason?
Well, he was 3-0 the previous 3 starts before last time out, and last time out he missed his spots a lot, and of course they made him pay for it. I mean, the Angels have a couple of pretty good guys in the middle of that lineup. If you miss to Trout or you miss to Ohtani, they're going to hit it out of the ballpark, and that's exactly what happened. But it's certainly Lance. It's not only Lance, but it's certainly the pitching staff has got to get a little more consistent, keep them out of the bullpen, keep the game within reason while they're in there. And hopefully the month of June will turn things around, because the month of June is going to be incredibly difficult. It's not that all games aren't difficult, but you kick it off here with Detroit, and you know that the Sox lost 3 of 4. Against Detroit in Detroit, but they're a little banged up ball club. But then you go to New York, you come home against Miami, who has superlative pitching, then play the Dodgers in Seattle in their home ballparks before Texas comes to town. Then you see Boston and you see the Angels again. So June is going to tell the tale. This is absolutely the pivotal month. I mean, we've put it off. It's early. It's a number of different things. You know, the division is bad, which it is. There's a lot of things that go into it, but I don't think that you can look at the month of June and say it's anything else but the month of determination, just exactly how this year is going to go, and then exactly what do you do when it goes one way or the other.
So for Lance, when you're sitting on a 6.5 ERA, but you've had so many good years and banked so much trust, do you consider pitch mix changes, or do you just try to perfect location and what you're doing? Because pitch mix changes might seem to be sensible, but I don't know if you even consider it if you're him at this point.
He's done it this way for a long time. I mean, he's an 85% fastball guy. That's what he's been for the life of his career. And he believes, like the three games before the last one, he believes that he can get it back doing basically what he did before. And he tries to make the ball break a little bit bigger and do certain things, but you have to concentrate that much more and know that when you do miss, then it's really going to cost you. So I don't know what he and Ethan Katz are working on or what they're talking about, but I do know that Lance is a man with a whole lot of pride, and he doesn't want to be that guy with the big ERA, that guy that goes out there and doesn't dominate like he used to. So hopefully he figures it out, because they certainly need him. They need every one of these starters to step up and have maybe their best month here in June, because when it rolls by there, and you know, as a trade deadline looms, then you have to make a decision in what you're going to do. And a lot of that maybe has to do with the Twins. Right now, the Twins are 2.5 up. They're treading water. They're 5-5 in their last 10. And, you know, they're not a killer ball club by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, for instance, I take a look at this Detroit team, and I'm sitting here looking at the Detroit team that we saw in Detroit, and the Detroit team they'll put on the field today. And I wonder how the Sox are behind them. Because I've always thought that the Sox are a better team by far than the Tigers. They got three starters out. I mean, they're starting a major league debut guy here tonight. You know, they'll get Scooble back, and he can be a dominating guy. But for the most part, that also has been a decimated ball club. And they're sitting there at 2.5 back, and the Sox are 5 behind them. And you kind of wonder how they're doing it. But, you know, we saw them. They hustle all the time, and they ran themselves into some runs. And so we'll see what happens in this series when we're at home, because the Sox play better at home and the Tigers play a lot worse away. They're 3 under .500 away from Detroit.
I think Riley Green might be their best player, Stoney, and now he's on the injured list. They're fine center fielder. You mentioned the Twins scored 4 runs in the last 2 innings last night to walk off Cleveland in the first of 4. So 2 division matchups going on in this month of June. Can you help us understand what Michael Kopech's outing was and what to possibly expect for this weekend? He struck out 10, went 4 1/3, threw 100 pitches, but gave up a pile of runs in the first.
Well, there's another example of a guy that had 2 starts that were as good as anybody in baseball at any time. 15 innings, 3 hits. He wasn't walking anybody. He was striking out a whole lot of people. And last time out, he didn't have the command that he has to have. And so what I looked at it was a bounce back after that very tough first inning. I mean, he kept the team in the ball game. He got him into the 5th inning. Then a pitch count got him. But it was one of those things that nobody's immune to. And if you realize that he is, let's call him young in the rotation. I mean, he doesn't have that many years or innings under his belt as a major league starter. And so you're going to have growing pains, and I think the last time out was an example of that.
We're talking to Steve Stone, Parkinson Spiegel, on the Score. Heard the end of your conversation with Dan and Lawrence, and you were talking about, I think you made the point that you'd rather be the Sox than the Blue Jays, even though the Blue Jays have the better record because they're further back in the division and it's the proximity of it. And that was really interesting to me, because the argument is, I totally understand it, easier path to the playoffs for the Sox than Toronto. But Toronto is probably a better team, and where they are in their life cycle, it feels like maybe a healthier situation in the big picture. Is that open and shut for you, or how do you balance those two? I wanted to have like a 10-minute follow-up conversation on that, but it was the end of your conversation with Dan and Lawrence.
Look, Toronto is a good team. They're sitting there 3 over .500. They're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination, but they're a good team.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the point that I was making was that they're a good team currently sitting at 4th in the East. They're a half a game ahead of Boston. They could easily be last in the East. So when you're playing a really good division and you're playing these guys all the time, I mean, you're going to run into Tampa 4 series. You're going to run into Baltimore and the Yankees for 4 series. That's not an easy path to the playoffs. But the one advantage they might have is they still have a hope for a wild card. And as you guys know all too well, the wild card's not coming out of the Central, so you have to win the division.
Right.
But I'm thinking chasing a flawed ball club, as Minnesota is, not a bad ball club, but a flawed ball club, as everybody is in the Central, I'd rather be doing that than having to have Tampa come to me twice, Baltimore come to me twice, the Yankees come to me twice, and Boston come to me twice. I mean, call me crazy, but I would rather be in that position.
No, I think it makes all the sense in the world. What then we started talking about was, if you are the front office and you've got to make a decision on, like, do I make a decision because we happen to have geographic luck and, like, division luck because we're technically in it when we wouldn't be if we were in the AL East, does that potentially cloud decisions that they have to make over the next, I don't know, 2 months?
Well, first of all, if you look around baseball, no substantial trades are being made right now with anybody. I mean, they're sitting back. They're taking a look at their ball club, evaluating it on a daily basis. They're looking at who they have in the minor leagues that might be major league ready. They're looking at who they have that might be expendable. They're looking at their needs. They're identifying one or two needs, and they're going to be prepared to go as this season moves along. So right now, we're at the beginning of June.
Yeah.
You're not going to make a decision right now. For the Sox, after the month of June, they'll have a much clearer idea of just exactly what's going to happen. As far as Toronto is concerned, I don't expect that they're going to fall out of it, but they're 5-5 in their last 10. Just about everybody in that division is playing almost the same. 6-4 is the best in the division. 3-7 is the worst. That's Boston. 6-4 is Tampa Bay, and it's also the Yankees. So you can wait there a little bit longer because you have the wild card. And I think when you look at the GMs around that East, they realize that you can hold on for a little bit longer, maybe let things clarify if they do, and then look at your schedule going ahead. I'm not familiar with the schedule for these teams going forward, but I do know that when you're playing those guys, it's really a tough way to go. But the advantage that everybody has that's in a tough division, and obviously the East is one of those, this balanced schedule is an advantage for the really tough divisions and a very much of a disadvantage for the divisions that aren't real good. And the reason being that if the division isn't real good and you're playing six series against a team that's not so good, that's advantageous. If you're only playing four against them, that's not quite as good, which means that you got to play really good teams a lot more. And so with the Sox being in the Central, the balanced schedule doesn't do them any favors.
14 years in the major leagues for Steve Stone, who joins us here on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. It was good to see you at the ballpark the other day. I brought you a Clean Fuego, which is a training tool that I'd read about and brought up to you in a previous appearance on this very show. It's supposed to help with spin efficiency. It looks like a baseball, but it's got a cutoff top and a cutoff bottom, and it dings if you throw it the right way. So, Stoney, I'm wondering how much you've thrown the Clean Fuego since I saw you the other day, and what you think of it as a teaching tool, sir.
Well, because of all those years throwing the baseball, I can't throw many things right now, but I'm a big fan of throwing things that you actually throw when you're doing your job. And I'm not that big an advocate of throwing things like the towel when you're not doing your job. So for me, I would think throwing something that has no top and no bottom per se doesn't make a great deal of sense. And also, you know, we're in an era of baseball where they're quantifying every nuance of spin, and they have videos from every angle. I mean, they can tell everything you do out on the mound, everything you do in your warmups, everything you do in the cage. I mean, I think there's enough tools right now to be able to tell you when you're throwing it real well. And if you can't figure it out when you're throwing it well, you're probably not in the major leagues anyway.
So, yeah, not a big Clean Fuego fan, I understand.
Yeah, I won't be investing in that Fuego company.
Okay. So that's too bad you can't throw. I was going to ask you what do you think you could, hump it up to? Like what kind of speed could you throw?
8 miles an hour.
Eight miles an hour.
That's about it. 8 miles an hour. Maybe with a stiff breeze behind me, maybe I can get it to 10. But, yeah, the most everything works except my shoulder.
Uh-huh.
So, I can't. I tried to throw a first pitch here. I think it was last year when they were celebrating 40 years in the broadcast business, and I went out and I told Southpaw to move up a little bit and still couldn't get it to him on a fly. So, yeah, things aren't going particularly well. But then again, I didn't warm up. I should have warmed up for a couple of weeks.
Well, a couple of weeks. Yeah. Just a nice leisure warm-up.
You take
up.
Danny's advice on first pitches. He's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I was going to say one for one. It's not true. I'm one for three in not bouncing it. But my most recent one, I didn't bounce. Clark the Cub, a tremendous catcher. What did you think of the Succession finale?
I just loved it. It was just terrific. You're looking at it, and as you're looking at it, you have different emotions if you're invested in the series, and I think everybody who has watched it from the beginning is pretty well invested in that series because of the writing, because of the characters, because of the acting. And as it's unfolding, the one thing that keeps coming back is, boy, this is it. This is the last thing. But it's one of those series that I think, because it was four seasons, I think I'll probably watch it another couple times because you really get other things when you watch it again. And so I'll give it some time to percolate, then I'll go back to it. But, you looked at the three main characters all vying for succession, and then nobody gets it. Pretty good. I like it.
It's too bad that the baseball connection that seemed to be so much fun just happens to be random. I was reading Frank Rich, the longtime New York Times columnist who was part of it. The Wham-Gans baseball connection was not genuinely used in the writer's room. I was hoping for that, Steve.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, that was 1920, first of all. That was at the time, the Cleveland Indians, and I was very familiar with that because growing up in Cleveland, that was part of the legend, you know. And then I got a chance to actually play at League Park when I was a little kid, and I think the thing that jumped out at me was how far it was from third to first. You know, I'm watching these major leaguers. They're catching a ground ball, and they're pretty much flipping it over to first base, you know, and it goes on a line. And then I got there, I think I was 11 years old, and I got there and looked at first base, and I was almost having to take some steps to be able to get the ball to first. So it was it was kind of nice. And, the triple unassisted triple play, pretty impressive.
All right, Steve, thank you so much. Enjoy the Tigers series, and have a good weekend. We'll talk soon.
Okay, guys, take care.
Thank you.
One of the legendary feats in the history of baseball, read about and the baseball lore books of my youth, good old Bill Wham-Gans and the unassisted triple play.
Tanny has already started the rewatch.
Of Succession.
So, like, as you were talking to Stoney about the finale there, and I just told Shane, like, yeah, I'm rewatching it again. Like, there's so much great stuff in there. I'm trying to lock in more on, because they throw a lot of characters at you in season one with very little context. So I'm trying to pick up on some of the subtleties. And as I'm saying that, Stoney says he's going to rewatch it again soon, because Shane disagrees with all of us on the finale, which we don't have to get into here. But just to know that another smart man like Steve Stone's going to give it a rewatch.
Okay.
I thought the finale was great.
So did I.
Yeah. I thought this whole show was great.
So did I.
Yeah.
Well, I'm feuding with Steve Stone right now.
Great off-air moment. You want to get into it?
What happened?
Oh, no. Never mind. Yeah. Maybe later.
Okay. Good. It's been an hour since we've had a feud with someone.
I'm so embarrassed right now.
That's good. I'm not even fully sure what's going on. But
I'm a big fan of the movie rewatch when it's really well done.
Like The Town?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Also, I've just been named head coach of the Celtics. I'm very, very pleased.
Congratulations!
Congratulations!
Yeah! We got to have him on soon, by the way.
Bill?
Good.
Yeah, he's got a new movie coming out.
Let's do it. Anytime.
We don't even need a reason.
Yeah.
Well, now we do.
Bill, what do you think about the kickoff rule?
That's a perfect intro.
Let's put Bill and Flula on at the same time. But stick it to him.
Flula, his sports takes are solid. Flula, it's the whole thing. But
that's the whole thing.
But the movie rewatch to see like what the artistry is, and you know, and the little hints at the overall narrative. I can't get enough of that. But in reinvesting in 4 years of television?
Yeah. I've watched The Wire probably 10 times. Happy 21st birthday to The Wire today, by the way.
I've watched 6 Feet Under twice. I think that might be the only complete series that I've rewatched.
Man, that's...
I think I'm on like 15 through The Office.
Yeah, The Sopranos, The Wire, Curb Your Enthusiasm, all rewatched multiple times.
Sex in the City.
I did rewatch The Sopranos, actually. So that's two.
Seinfeld, just like not sitting down and rewatching it. Yeah.
Well, that's
catching
that's,
an episode here or there.
That's the thing. Absolutely. There's a million shows like that. Like, oh, I've seen this one before. Whatever. I'm not going to find a better way to spend 24 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But an entire narrative like that.
I will probably rewatch Succession, but I am still consuming a lot of Succession content. Like, I'm not totally done with just, like, having conversations.
Just processing it.
Reading, listening to podcasts. Like, all the actors are doing a ton of stuff. Jesse Armstrong is doing a ton of stuff. Like, I'm still, like, in a post, like, haze of it. It's the best, like, appointment week-to-week show that I've watched since Game of Thrones. And so I'm still, like, basking in that.
So the actress, the elderly British actress Harriet Walter.
Okay, yeah.
Who is the mother of Roman and Shiv and Kendall.
Yeah, was in Ted Lasso.
She's the mother of Rebecca, the owner of the soccer team Richmond and Ted Lasso.
Yes.
So, and she's also in Silo, which I have not begun to watch.
The new show, right?
I have not begun to watch Silo, but I've heard lots of good things and looks pretty interesting. So I might slide over to Silo. Harriet Walters having a moment.
You're going to just support her moment?
I'm going to support Harriet Walters.
And go to
She's
Silo.
Making good choices, you know? Yeah. She made Succession and Ted Lasso, and now she's in Silo. I got those. Although I started Schmigadoon, the second season of Schmigadoon last night, but that's the musical theater kid within me who likes to laugh.
Bad time for Harriet Walter to be a character actor. I heard that in preparation for Silo, she trapped herself in a silo for 4 years.
Man.
She's just in there the whole time.
Dedicated.
Not hanging out with the corn.
Not going to get a lot of parts that way.
No.
Very few auditions come through the silo. Very few.
Damn, I thought that was a good one.
Well, it wasn't.
Oh, hey man, he's just trying to insult you into admitting whatever the feud was with Stoney.
Oh,
that's
okay.
All he's trying
okay.
to do.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I made a mistake. I gotta go.
No mistakes around here.
No,
unless you're Taddy, then we just celebrate.
I want to pick up Taylor Swift fans on the corner.
Not a terrible idea. That might not be the worst idea I've had today. The story about the Bears and Naperville should be revisited. We have a small update to it as Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's kind of a dank afternoon.
What about dank?
Afternoons on The Score.
Right now, Jason, all we're doing is exploring the property's potential. We don't even own the property yet. And any questions beyond that would be premature at this point.
But I doubt you're exploring it to build an outlet mall or something. I mean, do you intend to build a football stadium there?
We're exploring the viability of building a football stadium on that property.
That was George McCaskey. And now they do own it. And they got the construction permits. And did some demolition.
Yep.
And today it was reported that Kevin Warren took a visit and a meeting with the newly elected mayor of Naperville, and Scott Hagel of the Bears says we will continue the ongoing demolition activity and work toward a path forward in Arlington Heights, but it is no longer our singular focus. It is our responsibility to listen to other municipalities in Chicagoland about potential locations that can deliver on this transformational opportunity for our fans, our club, and the state of Illinois. Naperville Mayor Scott Wehrli, Wehrli.
Newly elected Naperville mayor, looking to make a splash, and does so. Good day for him.
Except it could have been better. He could have been hanging out with us. He turned us down. He said he's not doing interviews. You were texting with him, Shane?
Yeah, I texted him. He said, thanks for reaching out, but I'm not doing interviews. Contact this person for a copy of my letter and a statement. Have a great weekend. I said, but Scott, we just want to talk about the township of Naperville.
Yeah, talk about what you have to offer.
Yeah, I don't know what you've been up to, man. I just want to have a conversation with the mayor of Naperville.
We could just talk to people in Naperville, see if they would welcome the Bears.
Yeah, we could talk to them about like telling people from out of town they're from Chicago.
But here's the thing about Naperville. They don't have the space needed. It's a growing and enormous community. Second biggest city in Illinois, I believe.
I believe. I don't know.
I believe that's the case.
Danny?
Shep? Danny believes it. I believe it, too. Danny just said it, basically. Confirmed.
Kevin Papka?
Those two and Cole City. Right, those are the top three,
yeah.
I believe. No, I believe it is, but they don't have the space yet. That doesn't seem to stop the mayor, Scott Worley.
That's my favorite part of the story. My favorite part of the story is like just like the little throw-in of like,
yeah,
we have nowhere picked out for this yet, but we're willing to demolish some stuff and raise some land and create some space for you, which sounds like Soldier Field. Not a lot of space. They don't. I mean, obviously, they would own this land. And yeah. I'm not saying it's not possible, right? I think that the property tax stuff is certainly viable. Anyone that owns property knows that property tax assessments can be an absolute nightmare. And if the property tax assessment for the valuation came in at X, but it was it should have been Y when it was a viable racetrack with Arlington Park.
That appears to be the issue, is exactly that, in terms of the property tax issues. And they've, you know, the property taxes are seemingly going to result in taxes far higher than it's worth while it's not operational. So it's before they actually get it done and have money coming in over there to have this exorbitant property tax. But it's pretty funny, man, because like the Tribune, the second paragraph of the Tribune thing, in a move that could be used as bargaining leverage, like everybody knows what this is.
Well, it's obvious, man. Like, you don't buy a $200 million piece of property, say you're going to build a football stadium on it, have your new president say it's his sole focus, and then take one meeting with a mayor who's like, hey, we don't have 300 acres of undeveloped land for you.
But let's talk anyway.
But let's talk anyway. And have anybody be like, oh, yeah, that's really viable.
Mm.
So I don't imagine, like, I would be floored if they don't go to Arlington Heights. Absolutely floored by it. But it's kind of funny.
It's funny and it's entertaining, and it's got cities all over Illinois raising their hand. Is what has happened. By the way, apologies to Aurora, who is number two in Illinois.
Dude, never apologize to Aurora. Don't get me started.
And apologies to Joliet, who is third, ahead of Naperville, who is fourth. The fourth largest city in Illinois, followed by Rockford and Elgin. This has been your
Gross.
Illinois Minute. This has been your Illinois Minute.
I know we probably have listeners out there. But
yeah, of course we do.
Gross. That's a good chance.
What's gross?
Way to go out on that limb.
What the hell's
what's
wrong with you?
What's gross about Rockford?
Yeah, Cheap Trick's from there, man.
All right, dude.
Fred Van Vliet is from there.
Joe Dredge is from there.
Yeah, that's right. Is he still doing radio out there? Is he still the morning man of Rockford?
Yes, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
I can't hear anybody talking about I'm going on vacation to Rockford.
Okay, Joakim Noah.
It could be the new home of the Bears.
Joakim Noah is to Cleveland as you are to Rockford.
That's what he's going
That's
for.
A lane. That's a lane right there.
No
bad words for Joliet. Interesting.
Well, I love the Slammers, and I love the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, what's not to love?
Yeah.
They got it all.
And the Rialto Square Theater is an absolute jewel.
It's a really good theater.
It's a gorgeous place.
Yes,
absolutely.
Time. Jason Isbell's played there.
There we go.
I've seen him there.
Tributosaurus has played there in the lobby for a private event, but it's
all right. So you shared a venue with Isbell. It's pretty good.
Oh, you know,
that's pretty good.
Take what you can get.
Yeah, that's not bad. But yeah, this is a. I hope Kevin Warren is great at his job and is going to do this and land this for the Bears. It will be very funny if this backfires. I want them to do it. I want them to get a new stadium. I want them to own the land. Mm-hmm. I want them to have a state-of-the-art thing. But I see a lot of people grandstanding on social media like, no public tax dollars for the new stadium. Prepare to be disappointed. They don't have the money.
Oh, no. This is not their money that dropped the $197 million.
Right.
These are other people's. They're really, really skilled. They have an asset, but not the money to buy based on said asset.
Yeah, so
they have the credit that they can get.
Yeah, of course, the credit, and you can borrow against it, and they'll get taxpayer dollars.
So
this is going to be a 5+ year story, right?
Correct.
And hopefully we're doing this together for the duration of the time and beyond. And we're at the first game with Justin Fields coming off of a Super Bowl and an MVP, right? That's the dream, right? As we live in this fantasy land that I've created on the fly here.
Yes.
But I really, unless the updates are funny, I don't know how you feel.
Yeah.
I don't really want to get into the minutiae of like real estate transactional law, property tax value. You know, like it's joyless.
Dude, it's so funny that you say that. I've had that thought about this entire saga and what it's going to be, and I've expressed that. It's my least favorite part of the job is discussing that. So what we can do, the service that we can provide, is to know the basics and give them to people quickly and then find the humor as quickly as possible after that. Because
well, this one's not tough to find the humor.
I agree. But
they're like, taking a meeting for leverage with a town that doesn't have the land for the stadium.
Correct.
I can find the humor there pretty easily.
It's real easy. And if you want to say, like, they're trying to get the town of Arlington Heights to cover some of the property taxes or help work with them to lower the property taxes over the next 5 years until they have an operational stadium. And then we can move on to everything else, like this texter officially nominating Peoria for the Bears location. Accepted. We are taking that. Absolutely accepting that. Plano checking in. Smallville from Superman and home of the Harvester. It's not too plain down here. I might be on Team Plano.
Listen,
I
mean, if your area code is 217, we don't want you.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay, it's got
too far.
Bernstein.
Yeah, no.
Too far to drive.
Well, it's got to be. It's got to be accessible by public transit from downtown.
And Naperville would be tough. That's a lot farther than Arlington Heights. Naperville from downtown
88,
is like,
right?
That's a hard hour. It's like 120 with no traffic.
290 to 88. Yeah. And it's tough. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pass Downers Grove, you pass Wheaton, you pass
Bolingbrook,
Aurora.
And that stupid IKEA.
There is a Metro line.
The IKEA wars are on, by the way, on this show.
There is a Metro line that goes out there.
But yeah, you get to Aurora and you're like, I'm still not in Naperville, and it doesn't feel good.
Naperville does have a really nice downtown and like their own version of a Riverwalk.
It's
super cute. Naperville's very pretty.
Is Frankie's Blue Room still there? Used to play that.
I'm not sure.
That used to be our destination.
I think it's the last remaining Heaven on 7 down there, too, the Banos family. Uh-huh.
That's a lovely Riverwalk. You're absolutely right. And I'm sure they could find the space. There'd be a lot of people happy to have their homes raised so the Bears could come. Can you imagine that meeting with the mayor?
Hey, your taxes are going to go up, but we're going to move your home.
Yeah. If anybody's all right with us tearing down your home to make room for the Bears, please raise your hand. All right, you don't live close enough to each other.
It's actually
going to
cost money, though, too. you don't get a discount. Yeah. It actually costs you more.
Man, I'm bummed that Scott Worley doesn't want the publicity of talking to us.
Yet.
Yeah. He will.
Yeah.
As Arlington Heights maintains their leverage, Scott Worley will be coming out to play.
I think most mayors of most towns we can get.
Have you ever played his version of ball? Whirly ball? You ever played whirly ball?
I think we have to break for the rest of the show.
I'm a big fan of his.
Yikes.
Come on, man.
Really?
That was pretty good.
Oh, I'm glad you think so.
I'm alone on this?
No, I'm sure you could find some dad jokers on the text line.
Yeah.
All right, wait. From the 217 in Naperville closed.
Oh,
damn.
Forget it.
So where am I supposed to get my pregame Creole food when I go to a Bears game in Naperville?
You're going to have to open your own Creole stand. Maybe Rod Marinelli's daughter would come back to Naperville. I mean, what are we going to do with our Arlington Heights plan for the hotel and the convention center?
Put up a new Rosemary.
It's still going to happen. Nothing about the Bears' plans have changed. I promise. This is all posturing.
I mean, but you could raise you could raise some stuff in Naperville to build the stadium, but you might not be able to do the hotel. What about the beloved Ditka Suite at the hotel?
Right. No, I understand what you're saying. Okay. They're gonna be in Arlington Heights because they don't want to give up the Doug Buffon buffet. They don't want to give up the actual mini fridge in every room.
Yeah.
They don't want to give it up.
The Mike Singletary singles convention.
There you go.
There you go.
They don't want to do it.
This is the stuff. This is the stuff that I want.
It's all gonna be there.
Every room has a free mini the fridge in the hotel.
Should we call someone in Arlington Heights and see if they're quivering from this leverage?
No.
Okay. Yeah. It's, all right. My bad.
The Hampton Inn in Naperville. Hampton Inn is in Naperville. They're fine. They don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They already got pointed out. Yeah. Got it.
I'm told that Naperville does have a whirly ball. So is the mayor the king of the whirly ball empire?
That's why he got elected.
That's what I'm saying.
Different spelling, but
yeah,
it's too close of a coincidence. Yeah. Has to be.
Danny, what percentage would you put on the Bears not being in Arlington Heights? Like, if you were to say, like, oh, I think it's a blank percent chance the Bears won't be in Arlington Heights, what do you say?
For anyone new to the bit or the show, Danny has previously said that there's a 0% chance of many things,
yeah,
which have absolutely
COVID.
Been
no.
Through.
There is approximately a 0% chance that Tony La Russa is the next manager of the White Sox.
Yeah, that aged very poorly.
No, COVID takes aged okay. There's a 0% chance that the Cubs do not trade Wilson Contreras.
I'd forgotten about that.
Me
one.
Too.
Yeah.
I knew there were multiples, but I didn't know he had
the
sound.
Yeah, that one was wrong, too.
Yeah, it was Shep who had the bad COVID take. You know?
Yeah. No, he was a 0%er.
But he was?
Yeah.
I forgot that it was a 0%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, Danny will find it. Yeah. That one's old.
I've been talking to a lot of people around here, and I mean here being the United States, my personal life, or even around the offices today. Because, Shep, I assume you won't mind this. What is your personal level of concern with coronavirus?
0.0.
Well, I mean, he's fine.
Yeah, right. That's true.
His beautiful family is fine.
Yeah.
His wonderful kids are fine. His wife is fine.
Yeah, that's included in the beautiful family. Yeah.
Well, I'm just expanding.
Yeah. I just think...
I've got background info on Scott Worley coming in if we need this.
Oh, no, we've seen it. Yeah. And I remember it from election night, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Dump him.
You probably don't want to talk to Scott Worley anything but the Bears going to Naperville.
And maybe his version of ball. You know, just we can talk about that a little bit.
Oh. No more politics. From now on, we only talk sports.
All right, OJ.
You know,
didn't you learn your lesson, Danny?
As always, let's follow OJ's lead.
My bad. Yeah,
we'll follow OJ's lead.
All right. Well, it's the 50th anniversary of something fun. Next on the Score.
Yeah, you know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that. You know,
I like it.
Thanks for being with us on a Feel Good Fast Friday on the Parkins and Spiegel Show. If you're going to the Taylor Swift concert, good luck and congrats on all of your success. You were surprised that there were people in sequence at 3 o'clock? I mean, you got to be dressed for the show if you're pre-gaming.
No, I get it.
Right?
I get it. Three o'clock, a little early to pre-game for an 8 o'clock show at Soldier Field? Maybe not, because it takes 45 minutes to get there, no matter how you do it, from two blocks away.
That's right. Good luck. To all of their fans enjoying Soldier Field, if that's possible. But what is it the 50th anniversary of?
It will be the beginning of next season. It will be the 50th anniversary of the San Diego Chicken.
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here?
What?
Hey, man.
After the chicken was dead.
That's awesome. All right, so we're a little early. Or it's the 49th anniversary of the San Diego Chicken.
49th anniversary to a mascot.
It's the 49 and a half anniversary of the San Diego Chicken.
You
All
failed
right.
to mention that when you pitched this earlier.
He's not working this year. He's recovering from a hip replacement.
Okay.
You're not going to see the chicken tonight.
Oh, no.
You are not going to see the San
no
Diego
chicken.
Okay.
We have fried chicken. You're not going to see him. You're not going to see the chicken. The legendary San Diego Chicken is not participating. Maybe that's why the Padres are struggling. But it's his 49th year. Next year, he's probably going to call it a day for the 50th year and anniversary of him starting. Ted Gianulis, the legendary San Diego Chicken, is going to come back.
He's on the team for next year.
He's not, apparently.
Wait,
so he's worked 49 full years?
Here's the
That's where he's calling it?
I learned amazing things about the San Diego Chicken this week. It's an incredible story on The Athletic about Ted Gianulis. The guy.
And the headline is, after 50 years, right, is this the San Diego Chicken's last stand?
That's what I'm saying.
But it's not 50 years, is what you're saying?
Not quite
misleading
yet.
Misleading fake news garbage.
Right.
Look.
Wow.
MSNBC.
Greenberg probably approved that, too.
Yeah.
You know he did. He was a sophomore at San Diego State in 1974. Okay? And he was working.
Old.
He was working, yes. He was working at the radio station, and an alumnus worked at a local rock radio station, and that station showed up. They said, hey, we're looking for somebody to wear a chicken outfit and hand out Easter eggs. Pays $2 an hour. Ted Gianulis was 5'4". He could fit in the costume, and he said, yeah, I'll do it.
Short king.
He was a journalism major, thought he'd be a disc jockey or a broadcaster.
Good place to find someone to do something like that, the radio station.
Right? And
who
so
needs money?
So
do something stupid.
We do. But yeah, who's willing to do something idiotic?
Who has no shame? But you're anonymous.
Uh-huh.
That's perfect.
So
that's brilliant.
So he did it. He said, all right, if I got to start in a chicken suit to have a radio career,
yeah,
I'm in.
There have been weirder ways into radio.
And he suggested to his bosses, what if I went to a Padres game and I had the radio station's letters across my chest? And they said, go for it, kid. So he showed up in his chicken costume.
So it's a radio stunt.
Yeah, it's a radio stunt.
I love it.
I know, of course you do.
Yeah. Can't
so
believe I didn't think of it.
He shows up, buys a ticket in a chicken costume, and then just walked around the concourse. He danced and he wiggled and he did bits, and everything he did seemed to work. And the crowd is laughing like crazy. And so the radio station ends up hiring him, and he worked for the radio station as the San Diego Chicken. But here's the part that's amazing.
Okay.
To me, well, there's a couple things.
First, I was just saying, 50 years is amazing.
50 years is amazing.
49.
The Philly Fanatic followed him. The Philly Fanatic, and the guy who was regional Philly Fanatic, did it for 16 years.
Creep.
And decided he'd had enough. Different people dress up as the Philly Fanatic. I didn't know this till I read this story. No one but Ted Gianulis has ever dressed up as the San Diego Chicken.
So if Ted's unavailable because he's recovering from hip surgery, there is no chicken.
There is no chicken.
And are people angry?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
Dude, people love the chicken. He completely reinvented modern sports mascots.
We're going to see a replica of the San Diego Chicken show up in front of the Wrigley Marquee with the mascots that pretend to be Clark the Cub and take your money.
Gotta go to Dan Bernstein's house.
Yes, absolutely. So does he own it?
Not only does he own it,
did he
Danny,
trademark it?
He went to court because the radio station fired him and sued him for big money to get him to stop being the chicken. He refused. You would love this story. He's such a gangster. They said he could show up while they were doing the case, while they were deciding the case. He could show up as any other animal, including a winged animal if he wants. But you can't show up as the chicken. And the very next time he showed up, he was the chicken. He said, screw you. I am the chicken.
Yeah, I own the chicken. You do not own the chicken.
And he built himself a new chicken outfit that was better than the one the radio station provided.
Yeah.
And he totally stood on principle. He said, if anyone's going to go to jail in America for wearing a chicken suit, I want to be that guy.
Oh, I love this guy.
I knew you would.
You know what the call letters of that radio station was?
KGB.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You love that, right, dude?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's creepy.
That is pretty badass.
And now he's deciding whether to let the chicken die with him or maybe pass the mantle. And he said, somebody pointed out to me, do Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy still exist, even though Jim Henson is gone? That makes sense. I see the point. So he can envision great things for the chicken under the right stewardship. Maybe it could grow. So he may anoint somebody to be the chicken. But how about the 50 years, nobody's been the chicken but him.
Until the chicken was dead.
Well, that I was totally with him until that last part of comparing yourself to Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy and thinking that, like, the chicken has to die with you. Like, have a successor. It brings people joy.
Yeah,
it's,
it
it's
does.
It's got to be bigger than you. Yeah. It could be your...
That's what he's starting to realize.
It could be your legacy. In his 70s,
he's
starting to realize that maybe there's more to life than dressing up as the chicken. Maybe he could have gained an ounce of perspective a little bit sooner.
A little bit sooner.
But I love the defiance. I love the, this is my idea, not the radio station's idea.
He's got the irrational confidence.
I love all of that, but I am the chicken and the chicken is me. No one else will be the chicken other than I. That's a little weird.
Dude, he invented so many gags that all these other mascots have stolen, like showing the eye chart to the umpire. That's him. That's his thing. Like a million different things.
What a classic.
Yeah, I think so.
I thought that was Max Patkin.
Max Patkin.
So Clark the Cub, I tried to get comments.
Oh, good. That's good.
Well, look, you said we were going to talk about the 50th anniversary, and I think he's not doing it because it's not yet 50 years. He wants to hold his comments for that.
Mm-hmm.
But Clark, he left my message on red on the Instagram DMs.
Oh, you're getting ghosted.
I'm getting ghosted by Clark. Yeah, so he's got no comment as of this point.
That's tough.
Or he didn't return requests for comment.
I think Clark doesn't really like to be involved in things like this or anything really, because when the Bears mascot Staley was going around like pitching himself for the Hall of Fame, the video on social that went out was Staley, Southpaw, Benny the Bull, and
Tommy Hawk.
Clark the Cub, the fifth major mascot in the city, not involved.
Wow.
Mascot? How about that?
Huh? Mascot infighting.
Things are going on. Ah. People are wondering.
Yeah.
People are asking.
People are asking.
Where's Clark the Cub?
Yeah. Okay.
They really are
can't
asking.
Come out.
Canceless bottom half.
You know, can't support the chicken.
Cancer.
Missed opportunity a couple years ago. I didn't remember that when our guy Joe West at his record-breaking game on the South Side, he insisted that the San Diego Chicken was there. And the Chicken was there when Joe West broke the record. We could have talked to him then.
You know, this is a me question, and I haven't read the article yet.
Yeah.
What's the money for the Chicken? Like, so, like, what does he get to appear at Joe West's last game?
Does the Chicken have as much endorsements as I do?
How is he done? Does he chew it and do it?
Does he have a sleep number, man?
I'm just curious.
Has the Chicken ever done the NJ diet?
I don't think so. What's the Chicken doing?
That's a big callback right there, the NJ diet.
It's in my head because it's coming back.
Getting ready.
Oh, great.
Getting ready.
God, super psyched.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes, good for you.
Thank you so much.
I don't know.
That's not covered. I'd be interested.
I don't remember that. But
I'd want to know.
Credit to The Athletic for a truly great read about the San Diego Chicken. And, you know, I learned a lot. And now I think we all have.
Yeah, I absolutely have.
All right.
I'm going to try to manifest some positivity around sports. You get your questions in for one last thing. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.